Our theme for today is formed in the Spirit. Now, the worship helps ask that we read all of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, but being such as a long, is a long chapter, I will read just the one verse, and then I want to do a comparison also to that verse to another one that's found in Isaiah 64:4. And I want you to think of this as a bridge, sort of, because Paul's given a message to do two different people, and I really like how he tries to find a bridge, a way to unify his congregation. So I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. There's a companion scripture to that, which is similar, but it is different. And later on, I will go over what the difference is in it. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. I'm going to give you a little background on chapter 2 here. Paul is writing to a diverse congregation. He has both Jewish and Gentiles in his congregation. And he speaks a lot. We've talked the last few weeks about worldly wisdom. You know, the Greek orators of that day and age like to use language to influence their listeners. And so often is we can use language, but it doesn't necessarily always prove that what we're saying is true. Now, Paul, he was a very educated man. In the book of Acts, in chapter 22, he talks about, he refers to his learning when he was a Pharisee under the scholar Gamaliel. You know, and you know, he can speak several languages. You know, he's a Roman citizen. He's a very smart, intelligent guy. And yet, he says, I come with weakness, trembling, and fear. Amazing. I come with weakness, trembling, and fear. You know, so often we got a lot of confidence in our abilities. I remember as a young person, I was listening to this TV preacher one Sunday morning, and he says, well, I'm speaking today to millions, and I'm never afraid. Well, I had to preach that morning, and I thought, I fear, not for myself, but I fear not representing God and leading people astray. In verse 3 and in chapter 2, paraphrased, it says that truth is in the power of God, not in the abilities of human beings. And I thought of Brad's insight last week. Sometimes we have to unlearn to learn. Paul would say from the beginning of time, God in his wisdom had a plan. It was Christ Jesus. He says, but he does say that, he says that the rulers of the world only knew this hidden wisdom. They wouldn't have crucified him. And think what the results would have that would have been. Left unsaid was, guess what? There would have been no resurrection. There would have been no paraclete or no Holy Spirit left for us. And we wouldn't be here today. I'm going to go back to that bridge I was talking about. The Jews and the Gentiles. That stumped me for a little while, but one time, you know, I put these up side by side. Here's Isaiah 64:4, and I put up 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and one thing stands out. It says, in Isaiah, those who wait. Well, they're in the midst of terrible tragedy around them. There's change all around. They're being slaughtered. They're being carried into exile. And then those who wait, a Messiah is coming, a long awaited. Now think about that. And now we're talking 400 or 500 years later. So the saints of Corinth, it says, those who love God. Wow. So, we have those who wait, and now he says to the Gentiles, he says, those who love God. And I thought about that. The world doesn't have a whole lot of use for either one of those. Because we want it now, or we love only our desires. And within the next 10 verses is quoted this solution. Choose the ambition and wisdom of humankind, or be transformed by the Spirit of God. And it ends with that we might have the mind of Christ. Now, I had to think about that. Spirit is mentioned at least, like I said, 10 times here in a few short verses. And it's translated from the Greek word for breath. And you think about that. I've heard others say, you like to think of CPR, the breath of life. And I think about in the hymn, Holy Spirit, come with power. I thought about it. It gives us this insight. Holy Spirit, bring your message. Burn and breathe each word anew, deep into our tired living, till we strive your work to do. Now, as we thought about it, what have you awaited this morning? I mean, we're coming to this, to the Lord's table. And I thought about that too, is think of the disciples from years ago waiting for the day of Pentecost, 50 days, preparing. In Acts 2:1-4, we're told of this experience for them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We experienced in the baptism water the death and the rebirth of our old way of life. And now in this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive the energy of Christ living with us. That means accepting Christ's influence in our daily lives. I thought about the symbol of fire, and from physics I know there's three qualities. One is luminiferous, hard to say. It means light, basically. Calorific, and for those of you who are losing weight or want to, the word calorie does mean something that produces heat. And then actinic, that produces change, And if you think about light, an encounter with the Holy Spirit brings light, understanding, illumination. Like in the experience of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke tells us, their eyes are opened as Christ explained the scriptures to them. Granted, this was prior to the day of Pentecost, but it is the quality of the Holy Spirit. How many times have you studied the scriptures diligently and then had new insights revealed? Notice too, when the day of Pentecost came and when the Holy Spirit came, the speaking of tongues wasn't a babble of confusion. Rather, each one heard in their own language spoken. Now, there are many times I've wondered if I was speaking another person's language. How do I share with someone from a completely different background? I think the Holy Spirit draws us to see another person's perspective. The Holy Spirit gives us greater perception to relate to others and to share our understanding. It also says light. Light also casts out darkness. And with light, it sees possibilities. It also seeks out the truth. And it's not what is most convenient. And lastly, we talk about heat or warmth. The calorific. Calorific. Just as the body without life is a corpse, so is all the human knowledge and intelligence without the warmth, personality, compassion, and enthusiasm for life. Most people who have an encounter with the Holy Spirit will describe that part of the encounter, which is characterized by a warmth, a burning within the bosom. But we understand warmth in the closeness of friendship, love between a husband and wife, children and parents. Those are examples that bring some understanding, but the warmth of the Holy Spirit is really evident when the relationship with Christ causes us to say, as the disciples in Emmaus, did it not burn within us, as he explained the scriptures to us. Now, the Holy Spirit has the quality of this warmth because it's not just intelligence, but is the communion with a personal God. Prayer is the communication with a God who wants this personal connection. It's not only the largest problem, but in our everyday living. And the last and third characteristic is ascetic. Simple. It means change. Anything that touches fire is changed. This combustion produces a chemical change, so also is a change in the lives of those who encounter the Holy Spirit. The nature of this world is twofold. One, it's not superficial, but a deep, irreversible, and complete change. And second is that the change which takes place is towards the likeness of Christ. The Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians said, "You shall be a new person." When anyone is united with Christ, they're a new creation. Your old life is over. A new life already begins. And ascetic, same word as what? The book of Acts. Action. What action will come from this gift of the Holy Spirit? Jesus instructed his disciples that this gift would propel them to mission. Now, I have a feeling about that. Like I said, the Holy Spirit. It's more than a feeling. I recall one year I had just a tremendously bad week. We had a supper that everything at church, everything seemed to go wrong. The health inspector nearly booted us out. And then my good friend Barb had stomach problems, was in the hospital. My friend Mercer fell, and he was taken to the hospital to have his leg repaired. And then up to the hospitals and back. I just needed a break. So I was preparing to take a fishing trip with Maggie, and I'd spent hours working on my boat. And all of a sudden, within me, I heard the voice that said, "Don't go." So I went out to our backyard patio, and in the stillness, I prayed. And then as I was praying, the wind started to pick up and blow. It was that rushing wind, you know. Well, the voice said to me, "Go see Eldon." Eldon was in our congregation, and he had dementia. He was just down the road. And so I got in my car with Maggie, and we went down. And as we were going to see Eldon, I noticed an ambulance there. And I thought, oh, I hope they're not taking someone away. Well, no, they were actually delivering a patient. And when we got up to the doors where the patient was entering, it was Mercer Carpenter from my congregation. And he was so happy because now he knew he had someone who would visit him. He wasn't alone. So then Eldon, we came across, and Eldon's out in the hospital. And you know, having dementia, Eden wasn't saying a whole lot. But I can still hear him as we visited with him. Him shouting out loud down the hallway, "Randy, my pastor at Burt." You know, it renewed me in a way that nothing else could have. Dan Gregory on the back page in Old Bulletin said it as well as I could. Mission can be disruptive. Living as a disciple of Christ often calls us to respond to needs without a logical plan. Often we have nothing but the Spirit and prayer in which to lean. Yet when we respond to God's call to engage in Christ's passion, we often find divine grace going before us, Mission has the tendency to shuffle our priorities and cause us to remember what matters most. Now, going back to the day of Pentecost, too, a day of fire and rushing wind, it's also been called the day of endowment. How appropriate as we come this morning to the Lord's table to remember His gift and sacrifice. An endowment, a gift given as what? A memorial. We come in memory today. Remember me. A gift given as a memorial to continues to give even after that person has passed away. Many of our public libraries, university buildings, they've been gifted as endowments. Jesus left us His Holy Spirit as a living gift, but we need to exercise our responsibility to use that gift for His purposes. As you get a chance to hopefully share your testimony with one another, I'd like to ask you a few questions. When has the new life been breathed into your life? Has the Spirit ever moved you to change your attitude to, you know, from the worldly view to perhaps a response of love? Praise be to you this morning. And again, we ask that you consider this as your time of testimony.